Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Bears. The Bears were handed their first loss of the season on Sunday to the Indianapolis Colts, moving the Bears to 3-1. Are they pretenders or are they for real? We also have the Miami Heat getting their first win in the series against the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA Finals. Jimmy Butler with a 40-point triple-double. Outdueling LeBron, do the Heat have enough to come back in that series? And of course, we have our Week 4 FICT Cup overview. Lots of close matchups there. Can't wait to dive in. Let's get after it. So Chicago Bears suffered their first defeat on Sunday to the hands of the Indianapolis Colts, bringing down the Bears to a modest 3-1 on the season. Last week, they had an improbable comeback victory against the Atlanta Falcons, being down 26-10, bringing in Nick Foles after halftime for Mitch Trubisky and bringing them to that comeback. And of course, now everyone goes, oh, Nick Foles, he's our savior. The Bears are back. Not so fast. Granted, the Colts defense is a top three defense in the league, but it's a team that's run by Philip Rivers on offense, who, yes, he's a veteran. He still has his swagger, as it was seen on Sunday, him talking trash to Roquan Smith towards the end of the game. But the Colts don't have that many weapons. They have Jonathan Taylor, running back, a great rookie running back from Wisconsin. I mean, but their best wideout is T.Y. Hilton, and he's washed. And the Bears can only score 11 points, which was a little disappointing, as it was a big game. For the Bears, it was definitely the best team they've played all season. But I feel like, playing the Colts, it's a game you should win. No credit against the Colts. As I said, their defense is amazing. But it was sad to see the Bears only scoring 11 points. Really only scoring 3 points for most of the game until the very end. They scored a touchdown and a two-point conversion. A-Rob in the end zone. So for fantasy owners of A-Rob, they were happy to see that garbage time TD. But it's really going to be interesting going forward. The Bears play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Thursday, a team where Tom Brady led a comeback against the Chargers on Sunday, and the Bucs are looking good. They're 3-1 right now, looking to keep it going. So another tough matchup for the Bears right here, and a quick turnaround. Those Thursday games after a loss on Sunday can be tough. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Bears come out. It's really going to be interesting to see how big of a hook Coach Nagy will have on Nick Foles. If he's struggling in the beginning, will they bring Trubisky back in? He's going to come in at some point, because Nick Foles, just looking at him on Sunday, didn't look like the type of quarterback that is going to lead you to the promised land. I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky is, but I think Trubisky is, he's a little more mobile, he's faster. But the biggest problem for both quarterbacks is they're inaccurate. They're throwing balls downfield that aren't even close to their receivers. So it's going to be interesting how this quarterback controversy is going to flare up, because we have not seen the end of Trubisky, that's for sure. They're pretty even, in my opinion. That's why I'm like, we have two pretty mediocre quarterbacks. Like, how is it going to help us down the stretch? I have a feeling that we're going to have to mix and match a lot. We could be seeing every other game a different quarterback based on the matchup or just based on how they're doing. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch. If I had to predict, it's tough for me to predict the Bears win on Thursday. Really is. I'm going to have to take the Tampa Bay Bucks to get the dub on Thursday. I think it's going to be close. Really close, and I really think the Bears have a good chance of winning. Tom Brady's hot right now. The quarterback, whether it's Nick Foles or Trubisky, is, not so hot on the Bears right now. Their defense did look really good. That's the saving grace of the Bears, is their defense did look solid. But they're going to need some takeaways, okay? Because the Bears, as great as defense as they have, you know, it doesn't work if you don't get takeaways. You know, that's, you know, Khalil Mack had an easy interception last game that he couldn't come up with. And, you know, that, you know, they could have had a huge red zone opportunity there. It's going to be interesting to see how the Bears respond to a loss. I don't know if they'll be able to get it done on Thursday, but I'm not giving up on the Bears yet. You know, they have a pretty favorable matchup as they finished last year, so they're playing a lot of the shit teams. But definitely a tough two-game stretch here. Hopefully the Bears can pull out the W on Thursday. Miami Heat on Sunday took it to LeBron and the Lakers, getting that huge game, a must-win game for the Miami Heat, still being down Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo. 9-point underdogs. It was one of the biggest upsets, according to sportsbooks, in NBA Finals history. And Jimmy Butler was by far the player of the game. 40-point triple-double. He was one of the first people to out-duel LeBron in the NBA Finals. So it just shows the Heat aren't done. They're a team that's been, you know, actually in the playoffs, they've kind of coasted in a way. Like, they've won, you know, they won the first series 4-0 against the Pacers, 4-1 against the Bucks, and then 4-2 against the Celtics. But they were in control of every series. But it wasn't like every game they just were dominating. They had to come back a lot, especially during the second round against the Bucks. The Bucks were winning mostly every game, and the Heat just refused to lose down the stretch. And it's been a little different this series because the Lakers are just so superior to any team they've played so far. And the Heat, yeah, you know, they've been undermanned. And so it was a tough start. They had to, you know, adjust. Even when they lost game two, they were very good offensively. They just had no answer for Anthony Davis down low. But in game three, besides Jimmy Butler, Kelly Olynyk really showed up. He was a huge presence. Myers Leonard inserted into the starting lineup. He looked great. You know, he was that guy that just, you know, he's kind of like that J.R. Smith role, just standing on the sideline being their pump-up guy. So it's pretty cool that they insert him into the starting lineup and he, you know, has an impact and it looks good. He drained a three. I saw rebounds, which is huge. You know, rebounds for the Heat. Hopefully they can get Bam and Dragic back for the game tonight. It's going to be tough. Lakers coming off a loss. They haven't lost twice in a row yet in the playoffs. So it's going to be tough for the Heat tonight. I think that LeBron and AD are going to come back with vengeance. But I think the Heat are going to be right there. I don't know. So the spread tonight is plus 7.5 for the Heat. And according to DraftKings, the road or the underdog has covered the last 6 or out of 7 NBA Finals games. So if you were a betting guy, which I am, I think that the plus 7.5 for the Heat would be a good pick. I don't know. I can't tell you who's going to win tonight. I think it's going to be a really close game. And so I think it just comes down to who can take care of the ball at the end of the game. If the Heat can get clutch rebounds at the end of the game. And if their swagger shows up again. You know, Udonis Haslam in game one really got into them. That speech went viral in the huddle. I think that motivated them. Yeah. They didn't win the next game, but they're in the series now. They're right there. They're one win away from tying the series up. Don't count the Miami Heat out yet, but it's going to be a tough uphill battle for them for the few games to come.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My Riddle's rant of the week has to go to last week's presidential election between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I don't like to bring politics into this podcast, and I'm not about to bring politics into the podcast now, but just what an embarrassment. I had work last week on Tuesday till about 8:30, so I was able to put the debate, like the second part of the debate, on my phone. It was live on YouTube, so I hooked it up to my aux. I was like, yeah, you know, I'll just, you know, I'll be a citizen. I'll do my duty. I'll listen in. And I shouldn't have listened in. It was the worst thing I've ever listened to. It was just Trump and Biden interrupting each other, mostly Trump interrupting, but Biden wasn't much better. Poor mediator that had to mediate this debate. I mean, he couldn't get a word out. He was like managing two seventh graders, pissed off at each other in gym class or something, tattling at each other. It was just an embarrassment. If I had to write, if it was my job as a student to like write a paper on that or something, I wouldn't know what to write. I think I'd get an A+ for writing nothing because there was nothing to talk about. I'm really scared for this country going forward for leadership wise. I just think that we're in a state right now as a country where our leaders are just not, we're not discussing what needs to be discussed. We're talking, it's an ego thing. And at the end of the day, it's sad to see that, we can't even have a debate where two people can talk, professionally and, they sound like they're, have an education, but that's just not the case these days. And you know what? The vice president debate is tonight or it's sometime this week, next couple of days. Hopefully that at least can be more informational, a little more organized, peaceful. But I mean, my God, last Tuesday's debate was an embarrassment for the country.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 Spotlight of the Week. I'm going to take it to the gambling world as I have just entered the world of DraftKings. A lot of my friends have gotten DraftKings recently, along with my uncle also gotten it. And they were just showing me what it's all about. And it's a pretty amazing app. They give you lots of boosted lines, with promos on a lot of matches or games that you bet on. They'll give you like a little, tip at the bottom, like some stats of the match, how they've done against that opponent, and whatnot. They'll actually craft up parlays for you under their featured parlays section. And they'll, they'll show you what they think are, is a good bet to make. So that I feel like they're trying, it seems too easy because if you feel like they're trying to get you to make money. But at the same time, it's like, yes, I'm going to take your advice. I think that's really cool that they do that. Lots of work, obviously, that's gone into the sportsbook app. There's also something where, you can cash out your bet. So if your team is winning a lot, but all of a sudden it seems like they might lose, you can cash out and only win maybe $5 in the bet, but you'd still be positive from it, instead of winning like 20 or even if your guy is going to lose and you're going to cash out, you'll be down like $4 from it. So I think that's a pretty cool feature. You can do missions where, the more you bet, the more they'll offer you different bets that if you make, they'll offer you a promo on your next bet. I don't know. I love it just from having it for a day, just looking at it. I think it's really cool. And I'm happy I finally have made the switch over because DraftKings is where it's at nowadays, baby. My flick of the week this week is going to have to go to Schitt's Creek. I'm a little late to the party here, as Schitt's Creek has been popular for a little while now, doing really well at the Emmys recently. But it was my girlfriend, Caroline, recently that said I should start it. And that's just what I did. Schitt's Creek is fucking hilarious. It's great length. It's only 20-minute episodes. But it's about this family I think it's like they, have to pay the government all this money. There was some fraud going on in their family, so they were forced to move to this, gross motel in this kind of like gross little farm town. The show is just how they adjust to the town. But of course, they start connecting with the people that live in the town. And it's just a great show. It's funny, but it's also about a family coming together. It's really cool when those like little stupid funny shows can actually turn into like a deeper meaning. And that's just what the show does. You can definitely cruise through it like a season every few days because there's like 13 episodes a season or something, all 20 minutes long. So great binge show. I highly recommend. A great show to watch before bed. I've been watching a couple episodes a night. So Great show. Good laughs. Enjoy. My bet of the week this week is going to go back to the NBA. I talked about it earlier with the Miami Heat, and I'm sticking with the Miami Heat. They're 7.5-point underdogs against the Lakers tonight. I think the Heat are going to make it really close, but the Lakers aren't going to let them, you know, do what the Heat did to them last game. So I can't predict the winner here, but I do think it's going to be below 7 points if the Heat can't pull it off. So Heat plus 7.5, book it. It is now time for the Week 4 overview for the Fick Cup, the best fantasy league in the world. It was a big week this week for some teams. Some teams trying to get their first win on the season, and some teams just trying to improve their stock. Each week, honestly, I know it's early, but you have to view each week as a playoff game. As you know, you could be 3-1. Next thing you know, you're 3-4. So each week really does matter. But obviously, getting a good start is, you know, a great way to get into the playoffs. Obviously, so let's get to it. First matchup I want to go to. Let's just start with my matchup here: the Suicune Saloons against the Denver Fornados Vegas Sun. Big ticket, still trying to get it into the win column this year, and just didn't get it done this week. You know, had a tough injury from Nick Chubb, who's going to be out for some time now, hurting his MCL. So he only gave him 4.3 points before leaving the game. That just kind of started a downward trend. David Montgomery, who he recently traded for, only giving him a 9 spot. You know, his receivers were good. Tyreek Hill and Cooper combining for 40. But Zach Ertz just not getting it done at the tight end spot this year. Houston D minus 1. And he's going up against a team in the Saloons that are now 4-0. You know, I had great performances out of Kittle, who came back. He had 15 receptions, 183 yards, and a touchdown. Kamara and Jones both giving me 19s. Thielen with a 22 spot. Murray with a 23 spot. You know, just a consistent team right now. Everybody really contributing. But, you know, in the weeks when one guy is not contributing, one guy is. So really happy with the start right now for the Saloons. Being 4-0 is just, you know, I haven't been even 2-0 for the last 6 years. So it feels good. But taking that 1 week at a time approach, as, you know, I have a big matchup next week with Lebo. So that's going to be, you know, a huge matchup right there. So just preparing for that and taking each one as I can. But for big ticket, you know, rough start, 0-4. He's going to try to have to pick it up. But I think he will. I think he has some favorable matchups coming in the next coming weeks for him to get on the board. But 0-4, just not where you want to be. Let's go to Big Daddy for 3 against the 69ers featuring Nick and Madison. Huge matchup right here. With Big Daddy coming off a loss, you just don't want to play Big Daddy coming off a loss. And the 69ers really just had it in for themselves this week with Eckler going down, already losing Saquon the week before. And Big Daddy just really taking it to him, you know, just grinding out that 112 to the 100 win, putting Big Daddy 2-2. On the season, which, you know, it's right where he wants to be. You know, he's been dealing with injuries with Michael Thomas, Le'Veon Bell, Raheem Mostert. But he's really, you know, coming through in the clutch right now. You know, he's a scary team. You know, coming off 2 championships, he's still trying to get that 3rd. Never count Big Daddy out. Kyle Coughlin knows how to manage a football team. And the commissioner is really, you know, he's trending down right now. That's right. I said the commissioner is trending down. Don't want to lose your 2 starting running backs, that's for sure. But he's not done yet either. You know, he still has weapons. And, you know, Mark Andrews, Tyler Lockett, Cooper Kupp. But he's going to have an uphill battle because, you know, he's playing a ticket team next week that's hungry for a win. And, you know, Luke's team needs to figure it out because they are trending down at the moment. Let's go to another huge matchup here. We have the Dotson Bailouts and the Minneapolis Mike Caputos. A matchup here that was going to be a grind-out matchup from the start, but it was the Bailouts with another huge 5-point win against Nick Furnado. You know, the bailout's not putting up huge numbers this year, but after that first loss to start the year, he's come out with three wins in a row. It doesn't matter how you do it. It's just how you know, it's just the result on the board. And, you know, three wins in the win column for bailouts. You know, he went from first in the power rankings to sixth, and he's responded. You know, I told him in the podcast, you know, I hated dropping him that low, but I wanted to see how he responded. He will be rewarded in this week's power rankings as Klein Hans has come out of the, you know, the 0-1 hole to really prove that he is a force to be reckoned with. Nick Furnado, 2-2, still a very solid team. He now has, you know, Kareem Hunt, you know, with Nick Chubb going on, so that's going to be huge. And he has, you know, Clyde Edwards, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor. I love his running back depth. Ridley, you know, give him a zero, you know, which is not going to be normal Ridley numbers. So if Ridley puts up his normal numbers, he probably wins this matchup, but he doesn't. So 2-2 is where Nato stands, but, you know, still right in that, you know, that top team mix. Let's go to a matchup here where we have an Ethan Holman team that desperately needed a win, and that's just what they got. A 161.9 to 106.92 victory over Big Sam, who's really fallen off the charts after that big week one win. But here comes Ethan Holman with the highest points in week four in the league. He's making a statement with that Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon combo. Joe Mixon with 40 points, 3 touchdowns, 150 yards. Holman's claiming that he's back. It's just one game, you know, against a Big Sam team that really, you know, we don't even know, you know, where he is. Will he, you know, next week, it looks like he has a defense on bye and a kicker. Will he replace those players? That's really the storyline of the week right now. Will he fill his lineup in? We don't know. But in the meantime, Holman is making a statement, you know, don't want to go 0-4. So, you know, if Holman can crack up a couple wins right here, he's right back in the playoff mix for that 5-6 seed. Don't count Holman out. We never have, but still have more work to do, Mr. Holman. And for the last matchup, another huge matchup here, we have Bout That Action getting the 103.12 victory to 100.4 against McGee's Human Centipede. Mike Nassar going for the upset bid. I predicted an upset from Nassar, and he just fell short at the end. Still having Chris Godwin and James Conner out, so not having his full team. He's really struggled with injuries. But, you know, he still had good performances from Dalvin Cook, getting him 27.6. But that was pretty much it, you know. Lebo with some huge, you know, Lamar Jackson with 25, Carson 23. Terry McLaurin with a really nice 16 spot. That kind of sealed it for him. But, you know, it came down to the wire. You know, it came down to the games last night. And Mason Crosby was able to hit that big field goal at the end of the game to give Lebo that 3-point win. And, you know, that takes us into next week in our matchups. But before I get to the matchups, let's go to the power rankings. You know, my favorite part of doing this Fit Cup podcast. At number 10, for the fourth week in a row, we have Nick Pustovic, big ticket, coming in at the 10 spot. Still trying to find that first dub, 0-4. You know, it's been a tough schedule for Ticket. I'll give him that. He's played some tough teams, but he still hasn't produced, you know, those numbers. I think he has, you know, the second most points scored in the league. So even though he has, you know, the most points against at 580, he's still not putting up enough numbers to get that victory. So tough stretch, but at number 10, we have Nick Pustovic. At number 9, we have Big Sam. Big Sam just really, after that first big week, not performing. You know, he's had trouble starting his lineups, not starting the right people. A lot of inconsistency over there. So Big Sam really trending downwards right now. Will he pick it up? We don't know. We don't even know if he's alive right now or who's in control of his team. So as I said before, big question is, will he set his lineup next week? We won't know. But for now, Big Sam is at number 9. At number 8, we have Mike Nassar. Nassar really needed a win this week. Would have been a statement win over About That Action. Would have been 2-2, but instead got a tough 3-point loss. So that puts Nassar to 1-3. And at the number 8 spot, you know, still battling injuries. He's right, you know, he's right there for that at sixth seed right now, but really needs a win next week to, you know, keep those playoff chances intact. Tough loss about the action, but I think Nasser will be in it till the end. At number seven, we have Ethan Holman. Ethan with, you know, desperately needing a win. He got one. Definitely, you know, I think the best 1-3 team in the league for now. You know, it's only one victory, but he's coming. You know, somehow he's number two in his division. I think that shows how bad the East Division is this year. You know, really poor showing right now. Really shows in the strength of schedule for the West. But at the same time, you play who's on the schedule. Holman moving up two spots in the power rankings. He's not done yet, but lots more to prove as season goes on. At number six, we have Mr. Luke Boyd. Luke is now 2-2. He was number four last week. No, he was number four for the last 2 weeks, but two huge injuries to his star running backs. Definitely trending down right now. He's going to have to prove himself to Pustulovic next week. He needs a W bad to stay on top of his division and in the playoff hunt. The good thing for him is, you know, Luke is in first in his division at 2-2. Everybody else is either 1-3 or 0-4. So he has some, you know, he has some room, but you still want to get W's whenever you can. And Luke has a huge matchup with Tigger next week. So that's where he goes, number six. At number five, we have Kyle Coughlin, Big Daddy for three. Coughlin, huge win this week against the commissioner. Really needed it to go 2-2. You don't want to play Coughlin coming off a loss. Even though he's at five, he's a scary five player right now. You don't want to play him first round of the playoffs. So Coughlin's right where he wants to be. He gets his team healthy. He's going to be moving up in the power rankings. At number four, we have Minneapolis Mike Caputo's. The 3-4 spot was going to be determined on who won between him and the bailouts. And it was the bailouts coming out on top, which is why Caputo's are to four. You know, Caputo's with a dangerous team, but, you know, he's taking it slow. He's 2-2. He's had some great weeks and he's had some mediocre weeks. He's still trying to figure out that balance, but still a scary team. Lots of running back depth, force to reckon with in this league. And which brings us to number three. We have the Dotson bailouts. You know, Kleinhans, after going 0-1, has responded well. Is now 3-1, really showing that, you know, he belongs in this league. But, you know, he's definitely scrapped out some wins. You know, he's had by far the fewest points against at three. Actually, I take that back. Bout that action has had 369 points allowed. But the bailouts have, you know, allowed 384. So, you know, he's had some, you know, he's had some luck with, you know, Kuhn not starting his lineup. But at the same time, he plays who's on the field and he's getting W's. So congrats to Kleinhans moving back up to three. But some work to do. You know, he's going to have to put up more numbers as the year goes on, especially come playoff time. At number two, we have Sue Kuhn's Saloon. You know, being 4-0, it's huge for me. You know, every week is a playoff week in my mind. You know, trying to stay humble, but I'm excited at the same time. But we have more work to do. Coming off a huge win over Ticket, he was, you know, banged up this week, but I played who's on the field, and the Saloons showed up this week. You know, just a nice consistent week for the Saloons. I'm putting up a lot of points, but at the same time, you know, I'm gonna have to, you know, anyone that comes my way, I'm gonna have to bring it because, you know, once you're, you know, have a good record, a target is on your back. So things are starting to switch the other direction. So it's gonna be a new challenge for myself, but I'm honored to be at number two right now, but more work to be done. At number one, we have Bout That Action. I said last week if he would get the victory over Nick Fornato, he'd be the number one team, and that's just what he did. Getting that huge win over Nasser. I take that back. I said if Lebo would win and Nato would lose, he'd get that spot, and that's what he did. So Lebo getting that number one. Actually, I'm an idiot because I think Lebo was number, I think it was number one last, it was 2 weeks ago I said he'd get it and he got it. Last week he was trying to hold on to his number one ranking. So Lebo for the second week in a row is number one in the power rankings. So that brings us to our matchups next week, where I'll start with me and Lebo's matchup. We have the number one and two teams in the power rankings squaring off against each other, both 4-0. This will determine who's on top of the power rankings. Will Lebo be first in the power rankings again, or will I sneak in there and get the number one spot in the power rankings. That's definitely the matchup of the week next week. Sukun Saloons and Bout That Action. Looking forward to it. It's an honor to go up against a man in Bout That Action who has the biggest hype name in the league. It's going to be a battle, and it's going to be a great early test in this fantasy season to project what's going to come for the weeks to come. We have the 69ers featuring Nick and Madison against for Dan Fernando's Vegas Sun. Huge week for Luke as he needs to be up 3-2. But, you know, I have some bad news. I said I had a bold prediction in the group chat earlier, and this is my bold prediction. I think that Vegas is going to take it to Luke and get that upset win. Okay? I think that ticket is due. I think he's had some bad luck. I think his team is better than what his results say. I think Ticket gets that first win, causing Luke to trend more downwards than he is right now. I think the commissioner is in scrambles, and I think Ticket will sneak out that victory next week. I think it's going to be close, but I think Ticket's going to sneak that out. We have a rivalry matchup here. We have Ethan Holman going up against Big Daddy for three and Kyle Coughlin. Both coming off huge wins. Gonna have to give the edge to the two-time champion, though, in Kyle Coughlin. I think, you know, Holman's getting a little too much confidence now after that first win. And I think Coughlin's ready for him. You know, this is what he has been looking for, to get over that 500 hump. And he's trying to put Holman into the ground. You know, he's trying to keep Holman out of the playoffs, which everyone would love to see. But at the same time, Holman's tested. He's coming for him. I think Coughlin ekes out a 5-point victory against Holman. But I think Big Daddy Ange for three. He's hot. He's coming off, you know, a win now, which you don't want to play him at all. But I think Coughlin is confident and he will take that dub. The McGee's Human Centipede against the Dotson Bailouts. I think the Bailouts, you know, I think they take this one. You know, Nasser is banged up right now. He needs some wins. But the Bailouts are hot. You know, they're due to get a big win this week by, you know, putting up lots of numbers as opposed to eking out wins. It's definitely a trap game for the Bailouts as, you know, Nasser brings it week in, week out. You know, I know he's going for it, but, you know, Nasser kind of trending downwards right now. Bailouts hot. Tough matchup for Nasser. I'm taking the Bailouts in this matchup. And we have, finally, last but not least, the Minneapolis Mike Caputos going up against Big Sam. I'm taking the Caputos by a million right here. I'm putting my life savings on the Caputos. I don't think Big Sam is up for this challenge. Will he start? I said earlier that he needs to start a defense and a kicker. He's actually, you know, he has Hockenson out. So will he start a tight end and a kicker? We don't know. But, you know, Nano really needs a win here. You know, being 2-2. Don't want to go 2-3 after losing to Big Sam. So Nano definitely taking this in this matchup. Going to be 3-2 next week. You know, I never mentioned who's going to win between the Saloons and Bout That Action. I'm sorry about that action. I've taken you mostly every week, but I'm going to have to take myself in this matchup in the Saloons. I'm loving my matchups next week. I have Aaron Jones on bye, but I'm sliding in Antonio Gibson, who had a great game, putting up 20 last week. So I'm liking myself in this matchup, but I think it's going to be a hard-fought battle. It's going to be close. You know, you have some big-name players in Lamar, Derrick Henry, Chris Carson, with little Deebo Samuel being slid in there, Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, I love your team. Miles Sanders in the flex. It's going to be a battle, but I'm going to have to take the Saloons in this matchup. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We got a great week of sports ahead of us. We got a Bears-Buccaneers Thursday night football game. French Open's in the later rounds, so tune in to some tennis. Dominic Thiem just had an unbelievable match today where he lost to Schwartzman, but it was an awesome match. Nadal plays later, so check him out. And we also have the NBA Finals tonight. They're my bet of the week this week, +7.5 for the Heat. I'm feeling it, and you guys should too. I hope you guys have a good rest of your night, and I'll see you guys next week. Riddle out.